Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate it very much. Okay, John chapter 15. And for our prayers, wow, we're just a few, very few here tonight. My goodness. All right. Oh, wow. How old is he? 83. He's going to have a hernia operation. You shouldn't keep him out there working at his age. Okay, we need to be in prayer. That'll do it. Yeah, that's right. Kid, how you doing tonight? Good. Okay, we'll be in prayer for your mom and dad, Steve. And the operation on your dad is next...
February 25th,
okay. And so, we need to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Tish. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. Need to be in prayer... be in prayer for Cindy Edwards down in... hey, how you guys doing?
Just today.
Come on in. And we need to be... you can sit anywhere.
There's thousands coming in.
Thousands coming in.
We did have reservations.
You're over 21.
Boy, am I glad to see y'all. Can I see y'all afterwards for a minute?
Okay. Oh, Herman, don't let the cat out of the bag now.
See, we show up for Bible class.
See, see what happens if you don't come?
Sorry to disrupt you.
Well, I don't mind. It's not a big deal. I would love, it came up last night, I would love for both of you and Leslie to give a report about the camp this weekend.
And
this Sunday.
Jerry won't do it.
Jerry sat there and said no.
Jerry loves the talk.
Yeah. Pat called me and gave me a report, and so I decided, well, I want y'all to just, with that enthusiasm, and tell them things that happened, and that'd be good. All right. So let's see. We need to be in prayer for Tish. We need to be in prayer for Steve's parents. We need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards, faithful member. In Wichita Falls, Texas,
and family.
And need to be in prayer for Molly and Alicia, and so Kit's sister and daughter, or niece. And let's see. All right.
Olivia has to be prayed that she understand everything that she's going to try to
run. Okay. Olivia is a lady that Chris and came in Sunday morning, and she came in and sat back here, and she was leaning forward, looking, really concentrating, and Oriental descent, and came up afterward, and she's from Taiwan, and just completely blown away. And she came last night. She goes back to Taiwan in the morning, so she wasn't able to be here tonight. But just really responsive and wants to kind of work out some kind of way where I would teach one of her. She is a professor at a university in Taiwan and wants me to teach her class for every now and then. And so... she wants to be in prayer that she'll be able to understand and grasp things that we're teaching and saying. And I have to hand it to her. I mean, she looked on the computer and found a church within her area, and she walked here. It took her 5 minutes to walk here. She's visiting her son, who goes to the University of Texas at Dallas. And I just had to hand it to her. I mean, man, if I'd have come up here and I'd have looked, and I'd have gone, no, I don't think so. I don't think I want to go in there. And but she came on in and sat down and really responded really well, and went back with some discs And so, and she's going to listen on the web, on the internet. And so that's who we're talking about, Olivia. And you, I'm sorry?
How did she find it?
On the internet. Just Google and church, and her, she gave her a zip and everything. And I don't know if she asked for Bible churches or independent churches or just churches. But she saw that we were 5 minutes away, so she came here. And that, of course, is divine of God. And so that worked out really good. Let's see. Anything you want to share with us off tonight, just off the cuff real quick? Because I left Saturday.
Wow. You missed a lot.
That's what I heard. Dan and I asked Pat. We both asked her independently. Said, well, did it fall apart after we left? No, as a matter of fact, it got better after y'all left.
Definitely be in prayer for all those kids. Well, adults too, but all those kids that just, I don't know how many of them we heard say just in prayer time, you know, as we broke up into groups and just said it's so much easier to be at camp, to be ourselves and surrounded by people that believe like us. And when we
wow.
go to school, it's just so hard and... just so neat to hear them share and praying for each other. And
that is so wonderful. That's so wonderful.
Some of them are going through really, really hard home lives and some different things like that. So just keep them in your prayers.
Yeah, that is so wonderful. Wow. All right, well, Sunday morning, please be ready to take as much time as you want, as you need. So let's see. And we need to be in prayer for Kit's sister and niece.
Pam, still under the weather. She's got a cold allergy.
Pam's under the weather.
Yeah.
You know, you got to let her in, not keep her out working outside all the time.
She can. Yeah.
All right, we'll be in prayer for Pam and for Eve. Eve's under the weather. So we need to be in prayer for both of them that have been here tonight. So that'll be good. Let's see. I guess that we're all family. I called. We called Tish last night, and she was trying to get into her place. She has a solar type of gate, and it wouldn't open. And then she finally got it open, but she couldn't get it closed. And so here she is out there beating on the fence with her brother's cane. He was in the car beating on the fence with his cane, trying to get it closed. And I said, Tish, you're a multimillionaire. Invest $10,000, get you a good gate, and forget it. You don't belong. You're 68 years old. You don't belong outside banging on a fence with a cane. Good grief, lady! And she just laughs. And so, but let's see. So that'll be our prayer, and let's get going in tonight. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. But Heavenly Father, we would be no better off than an unbeliever with it if we did not have the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see and hear. Just open up these verses to us, Father. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 15. And we have moved to verse 7, and we're ready for the second part of verse 7. And just share with those of you that have been coming to the John 15 study, the theme, more or less, of the camp, the winter camp, was leadership and service. And they gave me mostly service, and in fact, all service. They didn't ask me to do anything on leadership. I don't know why. Why wasn't I asked to do anything? Anyway. what I did, I was thinking, what can I do? You know, and I thought, well, my goodness, that's what this whole chapter is about. Fruit bearing is about serving. And so what I did, I put it into 4 points for them. I like to do a few points and then just have them repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And we did abiding in Him, His Word abiding in us, prayer for the glory of God the Father. And that was our momentum of the serving Him. You abide in Christ, His Word abide in you, prayer from verse 7, and then for the glory of God the Father, and then a second four dealt with the Trinity, serving Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word for the glory of God the Father. And it seemed to turn out okay for that aspect, but after Dan and I left, they took all that we did apart and just did what they wanted to do. So that I know it. So let's get moving. Now we're ready for the second part of verse 7. We've studied the first part, and verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does, that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. We went from fruit to much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done to you. So, if you abide in me, how do you abide in him? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And my word abides in you. This is consistently under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, putting yourself under the teaching of the Word of God, or spending time in God's Word. So, I'm going to come back to that in a few moments. And then it says, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, this is a little powerful because sometimes I always like to tell people, well, God answered your prayer, He just answered it no. And that is an answer. I hate that answer, but that's an answer. But here it says, it will be a yes answer. So we have two conditions for guaranteed answered prayer. One, abiding in Christ. How many people know how to abide in Him? Not very many. Which means walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, consistently walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and His Word abiding in you, consistently in the hearing of the Word of God, believing in the Word of God, executing the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you wish. Okay, here is the kicker. Ask whatever you wish. Here's the kicker. For what are you going to ask? That's the kicker. What are you going to ask? If you abide in Jesus Christ and His teachings abide in you, what do you think you would ask for? If they're not, you would ask for yourself, you would ask for your health, you would ask for money, you would ask to win a lottery, you would ask all these kinds of things that we're oriented day in and day out all day long with, if that's what you're occupied with. But if you are truly abiding in Christ, His Word is truly abiding in you from outside, inside you, what do you think you would ask? You would ask to what is in the will of God. And we'll come to another verse on that in a few moments. But what do you think you'd ask? And that's for a car, or a wife, or a husband, or win a lottery, all this kind of stuff. If you're abiding in Him, His Word is abiding in you, what do you think you would desire? You spend all your time doing something, that's what you're going to desire. And I guess just not, since it's not sinful, just there are people who spend all their whole life with their alma mater, their college, and boy, they just want them to win every game. They don't win every game. They collapse. They fall apart. They da-da-da. But they invest their time. They invest their money. All this, and that's constantly on their mind. And but if you're abiding in Christ all the time, His Word's abiding in you all the time, then this is what you're going to be thinking about. Now, let's look at the context. How are we going to determine what's going on in this passage? Ask what you will, ask what you desire, and it will be given to you. One of the main things in interpreting Scripture is context. 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 What is the context? The context is bearing fruit. That's the context of our passage. This is what is important to Jesus Christ. He gave this just hours before he went into the trials and the beatings and the crucifixion. This is very heavily on his thinking. He comes off of chapter 14 where he talked about the giving of the Holy Spirit. And now he goes into a bearing fruit. Believer bearing fruit is a desire of Jesus Christ. And if you truly abide in Christ, if we're right there, that is the desire of Christ, and you're abiding in Him, what do you think your desire will be? Your desire will be bearing fruit. So the prayers are going to be asked are dealing with bearing of fruit. So you will have the same desire that Jesus Christ has. It's like a husband and wife. The more that they are together, the more that they are abiding in each other, the more that they communicate, talk, and honestly, they're going to think the same thing. His desire will be her desire will be his desire, about the children, about life, and about spiritual things. That's what's going on. But if he's over here all in work, and she's over here all in her thing, and they're doing all these other things, they're not going to be that much together in regards to what they desire. So this becomes extremely important in dealing with the context of our passage. What you wish or desire depends on what's going on in your soul. What you wish or desire depends on what's going on in your soul. Now, we could say what's going on in your life. That would take us into another whole different journey. But what's going on in your soul forms what you wish or desire. And what is going on in your soul depends on whether or not you're abiding in Christ. So it's very important to know how to abide in Christ. And if you know how to abide in Christ, you know how to have His Word abide in you, then you can abide in Him. Whether or not all of this is going to depend on whether or not His teaching is abiding inside of you. All right, let's know four things. One, what does Jesus Christ desire? Context. Believers bearing fruit. This is right after the last Passover and the first Lord's table. Hours before he's going to be crucified, Jesus Christ stops en route and gives his disciples this dissertation on fruit bearing. Productive in their life. So what does Christ desire? He desires, in context, fruit bearing. Two, so if you abide in Jesus Christ and His Word abides in you, you will also desire fruit bearing, the bearing of fruit in your life. Three, question, just take it, don't answer it out loud. When was the last time you prayed in regard to bearing fruit? When's the last time you prayed? Now, just to give you the idea, I feel very safe in saying that Chris, Lori, and I, it would be very recent because we were going to be with young people. We were going to go teach. They were going to go teach. So maybe like not before, two, three, four weekends before, but now, okay, it's all about communication, wisdom, spiritual love, and letting them see all these things to be right. That would be very much your prayer. So, but that was, you know, because what they were doing. But for the normal people, when's the last time we prayed in regard to fruit bearing? Point four. Another question. Why? Why is bearing fruit so important to Jesus Christ? Why is it important? Answer, verse 8. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. That's why He came. He's going to glorify the Father on the cross. And we'll talk about that. But right here, his primary thing is that fruit bearing glorifies God the Father. Jesus Christ cares highly about the glorification of God the Father. Therefore, if you abide in Jesus Christ, His Word abides in you, you will desire to glorify God the Father. You will therefore bear much fruit. You will desire to bear fruit. It'll be your prayer. It'll be the momentum of your life, because you have one thing in mind, the glorification of God the Father. It's not about you. It's not even about the people you're going to be serving when you bear the fruit. It is about glorifying God the Father. Can we glorify God the Father? Absolutely. And we'll come to that in verse 8. So this is the great issue. So if you're abiding in Christ and His words abiding in you, remember it's plural, words refers to the whole teaching of Jesus Christ, abides in you, what will be your thoughts? What will be your thoughts? What will be your desires? Okay, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And what is the obedience of Christ? Bearing fruit. He went to the cross that we all might be His fruit, all who believe. So we take into captivity every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? That we glorify God the Father. How do we glorify God the Father? Bearing much fruit. How do we bear much fruit? By abiding in Christ, having His Word abide in you, and prayer. Those three elements are part of us abiding in Christ. Now, what will you desire? What will you ask? Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Go back a few pages to Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. And people, it's so easy to be conformed to the world that, in a strict sense, in a normal sense, is not talking about sin. It's just taking on the momentum of the world, thinking in terms of the world, the house I live in, the car I drive, the job I have, my family, and this, and the boats, and this, and going here, and doing that. It's just getting into the world. It's not a sin thing in a technical sense of sinning. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed excuse me, by the renewing of your mind. Okay. That's why Christ said two things. You abide in me. And the second part, my word abide in you. That's the transforming of your mind. That's the transforming of your mind. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're transformed from a totally depraved creature into the image and glory of Christ. How do you do that? In the power of the Holy Spirit, letting His Word continually abide in you. And we took a look. How often do you get into the Word, listen to the teaching of the Word of God by someone who's teaching the truth, and getting into the Word on your own? And we'll look at that in a moment some more. But we've already looked at all of this. And you do this in the power of His Spirit. And how often do you do it? Every day? Do you do it every week? I'm not going to be legalistic about it, but don't fool around with God. Don't fool with God. It's very easy to get conformed to this world, transformed to this world. And so if we want to stay with this renewing of our mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. What is the will of God? That I drive this kind of car, that I live in this kind of house, that I do this, that I do this, or is His will that I bear fruit that will glorify God? that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, therefore, such a person will ask only that which is according to his will. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. I'm just learning these verses rather than give you 10 or 15 points. First John chapter 5. We want to look together at verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything, according to his will. See, that's always the kicker. Ask whatever you will. See? Ask anything according to his will. Well, there goes that, and there goes that, and there goes that, and there goes that. See? It's according to his will. According to his will, he hears us. That means he answers us. This is parallel to our study in John chapter 15, verse 7. Now, what I like here, in 1 John 5:14, same author, 1 John 5:14, you can have confidence in prayer. This is powerful, people. Well, God, if you could work this out, I'd sure like to make 100 on this test today. And God, if you could work it out, I sure would like to get off so I can watch some of the Olympics. God, if you could work it out. And we're just playing with God. Just playing with God. You could have confidence in prayer. And you ever prayed a prayer and then thought, boy, I sure hope God answers this prayer. That's not confidence. Got to have confidence in prayer. Can we have that kind of confidence in prayer? Yeah. Absolutely. Now, there are iffy prayers. Make no doubt about it. Make no doubt about it. There are iffy, what I call iffy prayers. You know, if it be your will, help grandma, grandpa, my aunt, uncle, brother, sister, mom, dad, child, children get better and this type of thing. If it can be worked out to your good pleasure and all, but thy will be done. And when you add that, people mean it. I always like to, you know, kind of say, boy, look at Jesus Christ. He added those words, and then look what happened to him. They hung him on a cross. Thy will be done. Good. And then they hung him on a cross. Be sure you mean it. Be sure you mean thy will be done. If you ever pray that. It's sort of a catch-all, but it's a very powerful catch-all. And it's not out of line. But, so there are iffy prayers. But, there are prayers that we can be sure that he's going to answer. And so here we have the confidence in prayer. Something like power prayer. Confidence in prayer. We can have it. Sir, I request a pass. Sir, what I'm using here is a soldier goes up and he says, sir, I request a pass. Sir, I hear a knock in your car. Can I go fix it? Now, which one do you think is going to be an absolute yes? See, it's no contest. No contest. And that's what we have here. This is the prayer that we can have confidence in answering. And our confidence in prayer is based on the same principle of our study in John 15. If you ask, 1 John 5:14, if you ask anything, and I like that anything, people, you can ask him anything. In accordance with his will. There's the kicker. In accordance with his will. That's why he puts it the other way. Puts the first thing first in John 15. If you abide in him, his word abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. That's all based on what? Your being in Christ and his word abiding in you. Those things will guide you. Here he puts it the other end. He says, if we ask anything, in accordance with his will. Question, how can we know what the will of God is? How can we know what the will of God is? Since we are to pray according to his will, we must know what his will is. And the way to know what his will is what? To abide in him and have his word abide in you. That's how. That's how we'll know what his will is. What does your girlfriend want? Well, I don't know. What's your wife want? Well, I don't know. That says tons. Tons. I've been married 6, 7, 8 months now, and I'm still learning so much that I didn't know. Just so much. And it just it takes a long time. It takes a long time to know what God's will is. But he'll just, if you abide in him, and his word abide in you, each day, you see it more and more and more and more. You understand him more and more. So this is so powerful. You spend daily in his word, daily in him, daily in prayer. Either by listening to a teacher of the word who knows the word and teaches it in the Holy Spirit, or on your own reading of the word of God. It's very interesting at camp these last several days. Dan taught on something that, I had it, 30, I've been in ministry 35 years and so forth, 39 years ago. And I do it every day, but he was going through studying the word, and I got to thinking, it's something I might need to share on Wednesday night. And because if you read the word of God, okay, let's just say you read the word of God and you read John 15 and you start reading, and you're reading, okay, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, every branch in me, and you read through 8 or 9 verses. And okay, what have you got? But people, if you learn just to take a few minutes and start observing some things in that verse, in that passage, and it'll just change your whole, and you can do this yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit. People, because I have the gift of pastor teacher doesn't mean I have a monopoly on seeing the truth in this book. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit I do. And so you start off with the text and then the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you just observe some things. Observe a paragraph or so in the Bible. Dan emphasized the paragraph. And just I don't care if you just got 10 minutes. I'm talking to you. You just got 10 minutes. Just open up to a psalm. Open up to something. Pick out one verse. I don't care. And if you've got longer, do more. But if you just, I just want to read the Bible, and then observe what's going on in the passage if you're choosing. And it's, of course, it's better to observe it by paragraphs. And but have fun observing the text. And for example, what are you going to look for? Now, it wasn't my session and all, but what I would encourage you to do is, if you take a paragraph, which is advisable, and what you do is take, like in ours, it's one paragraph is 1 through 10 or 11 in John 15. I think it's 10, but it may have been 11 verses. No, it's 11 verses. Verses 1 through 11. All right. Read it through. Let me just tell you, for your own benefit, this is free. This is free. For your own benefit, read the passage 2-3 times. Just read it. Just read it. This, in the power of the Spirit, don't speed read. Just read through it. And then you get a sense of it. And then you go back. And you look for, so let's just put, you read the text. Even if you're just doing one verse, I don't care. If one verse is all you got time for, take time to read it 2 or 3 times in one verse. And then you go through and look for key words. That's what we call them. And that's the great technical word, key words. But anyway, important words is what I would rather say. But anyway, you look for key words. And what I would encourage you to do is don't saturate yourself if you're taking a verse, 1 through 11, on one verse and then go to the next. Take verse 1, find a key word, write it down. Verse 2, find a key word. 3, find a key word. 4, find one key word. 5, kind of key word. 6, find a key word. 7, find a key word. 8, find a key word. 9, 10, and 11, find a key word. And if you look back and you see that you've got bare fruit about 3 or 4 times, you go, oh wow, that's pretty heavy in this area. And then you go back and you do it again now. You've gone through, read it one time, picked out one key word, and you go back and you do that again. And then the second time you go through, you pick out another word. And then pretty soon you've got, you know what? Abide. Abide is in here a lot. Abide is in here a whole lot. So, man, I got bear fruit, and I got abide. And you just want to observe the structure, the paragraph. Ask yourself just different questions about it. What's going on in this passage? Is it about people? Is it about places, things, ideas? What's it about? And it's fun if you're doing a whole lot more. If you look at the literary form, narrative, the poetry, doctrine, prophecy, and each one of those will help you and kind of looking at it and grasping from it. And once you've marked out your paragraph, it is helpful to read the paragraph two or three times. Then pick out a key word, like I said, in each verse. Then go back and do it again. Because when you go back, if you read through it and pick out one verse, one key, you're reading it again. And the more you read this paragraph, the more it's going to grow on you. The more it's going to start abiding in your head. Just going to start sticking up, staying up there. And then pick out a key words. Now, let's sit back and look what we've got here. I've already done this for you. And in regard to this, in John 15, 1 through 11, abide occurs 10 times. In 11 verses, abide occurs 10 times. I occurs 8 times. Me occurs 8 times. My occurs 5 times. So 21 times in 11 verses, Jesus Christ refers to himself. This is about Jesus Christ. And whatever's going on here, it's about him. See? Bear fruit 6 times. That's a lot. Branches 5 times, not counting the pronoun it. If we added that, we get more. So this starts giving you some idea on how to proceed in your own little Bible study, your own time in the Word, rather than just picking. And there's not a thing wrong. I do it a lot, especially on rainy days and things. Just sit down and pick out a psalm and read it. Not really studying it, just letting it absorb as I read it. But so often we can just go through it and we've gotten nothing out of it. This will help you spend a little time. You got a little pencil and paper. And okay, this is really cool. Got this. And, wow, this is burning. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of this type of thing. And so you start putting all these things together. So it gives you some idea. And then after you've done that, then you're ready. And this, by the way, what I'm showing you is about what I do every day. And it's just, when Dan was going through it, I had to kind of smile and say, oh, yeah, that's what I do. And I do it in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Chaldean. But then you go to some kind of interpretation. Well, let me see if I can interpret now what's going on down here. You have the Holy Spirit, people. No step can be done out of the Holy Spirit. You'll start seeing man-made things. Yes. No. And I'll come to that. Yeah. Got it right here. You look for what's not there. And why isn't it there? Something that's very important. I agree with you. And it's a very good observation. Very good observation. The Holy Spirit's not talked about. Okay? So, then you go to interpretation. And here's where Bible students disagree, Bible teachers disagree, preachers disagree, theologians disagree. We can all do this observation stuff, but now you're dependent on the Holy Spirit for that, but now you're dependent on the Holy Spirit if you're going to start seeing what the Bible is saying. I know when I entered seminary, we had this in the first semester in Bible under Dr. Howard Hendricks, who was just really, really great. He was known for gentlemen, and he had his finger out there, and he was sharp like I am, and over, gentlemen, and so, but I was well trained in from Houston, and he would give us a section of scripture, and I guess we started with Nehemiah, and most of the kids would find maybe 10 to 12 observations, and write it all out and turn it in. I'd find 100. And I remember a couple of times he would write on there, he would write stuff like, "Very good, Herman, but I hope you don't try to teach all of this, all of these observations." Little did he know, I'm going to. And you just have fun. You don't try to get a whole lot. Don't try to get too many. Don't try to just have fun. Let the Spirit guide you in your own time. And people, before you know it, an hour has passed. Before you even know it. And you've been abiding in the Word. And the Word now is abiding in you. And you're going to think about that. You're going to think about that when you're driving. You're going to think about that somewhere else. You can't help but do that. It's just going to be in your mind all the way through. If you do get serious in interpretation, this is where Bible students disagree. And the first point I would say here is interpret literally. This is one of the big battles. Do you interpret it figuratively or literally? And I interpret the Bible literally. And this gets a lot of people upset and all that. They don't think the Bible should be interpreted literally. I believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible, recognizing figures of speech, recognizing all of that. But that's why we've gone through Revelation. And that's why I've stayed away from saying, this means da-da-da-da. I don't know. And nobody else does. Don't anybody kid you. I just say that over and over in Revelation. I tell you what's there. And so you decide if you're going to interpret it literally. Secondly, interpret it according to context. According to context, word. And the way you build your context, the word, phrase, the whole phrase that word's in, a sentence, a paragraph, a chapter, a book, and if you can, by author. Like Paul, you could go to different books. And then by the New Testament, by the Old Testament, and then by the whole Bible. See, this is what I used to tell people in the gym when I used to go a lot, and we'd talk about all this stuff. This is what helps to stay away from a lot of false teaching. If you take they asked me about what kind of church we're in. I said, all right, I take it in the context of that verse, and then that chapter, and then that book, and then that author, then the New Testament, Old Testament, and it keeps you away from a lot of false doctrine. If it's going to fit with the whole flow of the Bible, of course you got to understand what that is too. But you got to have it in interpreting something in realm of context, and then thirdly, interpret in view of other scriptures. Interpret in view of other scriptures. Not just in regard to that scripture, but it's like so many people have gotten so evil. I'm going to use the word evil with 1 John 1:9. Why? They took it out of context. They took it out of context. They did not go and look at other scriptures. They took it out of context. And look what it's done in the Roman Catholic Church and even in the fundamentalist movement. So you interpret, first of all, literally, secondly, contextually, and then third, the view of other scripture. Now, in seminary, I was very, very thankful for some of the profs I had. Some of them were very wonderful scholars. They're no longer there. Some are home with the Lord, which makes me get old. But you can get so involved in like a word study, and people, they write books. We're going to cover this in a few minutes tonight. They write books on word studies, how to word study. Because you can get so, you go from the word here, and then you do this thing with that. Then you go to the lexicon, and then you go to classical Greek, and then you go to Dorian Greek, and you go to all these things. And pretty soon you have this saying something that it didn't even say. Got to be very careful with word study. It's wonderful to know those things. It's wonderful to maybe search them out. Sometimes I still do. I have a classical Greek dictionary. It's a big thing about like that. Sometimes I'll go look at it and just see what the classical Greeks did with this word. But you want to be careful getting involved in it. I don't think any of you will be going to that degree, but just want to be careful with that area. And then four, interpret in view of theological consistency. Theological consistency. Is it consistent with what you know is theologically true? That's another good thing that I enjoyed and appreciated about seminary. Not only the languages, but we went through all of Schaeffer's systematic theology. So you learn to think. Angiology, you learn to think. Soteriology, you learn to think. Or martyrology, sin, which we're doing on Sunday morning. You learn to think. So that keeps you from saying something that just isn't true about sin. Just isn't true about angels. Just isn't true about that. It doesn't line up. So it's good to have that kind of background. And I hope that I'm getting you to think, wow, I don't think I ought to do this. I don't want to do that to the point that you do not take time to spend time observing. But when you get into interpretation, these are in considerations that you have to bear in mind. Five, interpret in view of history and culture. You got to bear in mind the history and culture. Six, bear in mind and interpret in view of literary form. Poetry is written different than a narrative. And one of the most valuable classes that I had in seminary was Dr. Bruce Walkie in the second and third year of Hebrew, where we would spend just hours in the Old Testament, and he was very big on he, it, they. And it can change right in the middle of a verse. Who he got to, is talking about a name and then says he, and it isn't talking about that. It's talking about something. And you got to be able to identify who the personal pronouns are referring to. And you've got to be able, and the poetry, that is so, so difficult. Because poetry just changes it. And the thing about Dr. Walkie, he's such a genius that his assignments would take, and I am not exaggerating, 6 hours to do one assignment. Now, you can go over to the library, get out all of the technical books, and do it in an hour. But you won't learn. You will not learn. And we just didn't do that, a group of us that were there together. And we stayed away from those books. And because we wanted to learn what he wanted us to be able to do, think your way through this text, think your way through the personal pronouns and who's it referring to, the antecedents and all of this type of thing. And so poetry is very difficult. Prophecy is difficult. Prophecy is dangerous. So, but it's a different writing. Narrative is kind of simple. And parables. Parables are torturous. Proverbs, poetry, figures of speech, types, symbols, as we studied in Revelation. So you go through all of this. So you got observation, which is a lot of fun, and I do encourage you to do that. Interpretation, and then finally, application. And this is unfortunately where a lot of preachers spend their time, but they haven't done the observation, they haven't done the interpretation, but boy, they're big on their application. And people, oh, I love that preacher, man. He gets it down and tells me this and tells me that. And but you got to be very careful. Here you need the power of the Holy Spirit, leading of the Holy Spirit. Got to have Him there for application. But it has been stated, Bible study, and this was in seminary, Bible study without application is like preparing a meal and not eating it. And so you've done all this, and then you say, okay, well, that's what you would do with Shakespeare. You would spend all, you know, a couple of hours in studying Shakespeare and then walk away and go do whatever you're doing. And you don't want to do that with the study of God's Word. And some questions to ask if you get to this point. What is this verse telling me to do? How does this work? How do you abide in Christ? How does he abide in you? How does his word abide in you? Preachers don't do this. They do not ask these questions. They do not answer these questions. I don't think in my whole time, several years, that I would be in the gym, and that's where I did a lot of my talking to other churchgoers or unbelievers, was, what does your pastor say about how to be filled with the Spirit? I don't think he ever talks about it. Well, don't you think that'd be kind of important to know how to be filled with the Spirit? Yeah. I'm going to go ask him. And I said, oh, that'll be fun. And how do you do that? You got to ask yourself these questions. How does this work? How do you abide in him? And how does his word abide in you? And what are timeless principles of life? What are immediate principles of life? And then you can apply the application to relationships. Relationship with God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, his word, self, unbelievers, believers, with one another. Remember, we did a series called One Another? And that's all I did. I took the Greek words, one another, and in the Greek, and I looked up every reference in the New Testament. Some of them didn't apply, but most of them did. And then friends, husband, wife, family, work, school, government, all these type of things. So, and you can do all of these things. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and it just makes the Bible just so much fun, even if you just got 5 minutes. I'm going to be working with my two of my grandchildren on teaching them Bible study and spend time in the Bible, and I'm going to do it where we spend no more than 10 minutes in about 4 or 5 days a week in the Bible, and just they're both wanting to, so it's going to be fun. Okay, back to John 15:7. Any questions on what we just did? Okay. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Note, ask whatever you desire. It shall be done. You get what you ask. But always remember, it's not about you. It's not about even other people. It's about the glorification of the God. Glorification of God the Father. Now, I know it sounds like it's about you. You bear fruit. It's about you. But you ask what you desire in our text. You ask what you desire. Just staying with the pronouns. You ask what you desire. And it shall be done to you. Sounds like it's about you. It's not. It's not about you. Look at verse 8. One more time before we even get there. By this is my Father, Jesus Christ's relationship, glorified. There's that relationship. So we have in this section, we got some wonderful relationships. We got the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father. Verse 1, I'm the vine, my Father's the vine dresser. So we got their relationship. Verse 8, the Father and the Son. And then we've got you and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and you. You and the Word. And the Word and you. So we got a lot of relationships here. And in our study. Now, principle. If you abide in Christ, and if His Word abides in you, instead of praying in the energy of the flesh, you will pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, John asked an observant question. This whole section dealing with bearing fruit never mentions the Holy Spirit. It's like giving the command, love one another as I've loved you. No mention of the Holy Spirit in that section. But people, by the way of just wording those things, they cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Jude chapter 20. Jude. Just before Revelation, you have the book of Jude. Jude, verse 20, one chapter. But you, beloved believer, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So even our prayers cannot be outside of the Holy Spirit, people. Got to be in the power of the Holy Spirit in order to pray. Let's also look now at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's roll over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, morning, noon, night, good times, bad times, all these kind of things. At all times, in the Spirit. In the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. All of this means that there's going to be a lot of distractions to your prayer life. A lot of attacks to your prayer life. You got to persevere. What's perseverance? Perseverance is a what? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, you persevere. So all these things become so important in dealing with it. So with all prayer about the fruit bearing, prayer for others, prayer for self, these kind of prayer, there are a lot of different categories of prayers, and with all prayer, whether it's petition for the bearing of fruit or not, petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit, in the power and leading of the Spirit. And with this in view, in other words, keep this in mind, be on the alert. Going to have a lot of distractions to prayer life. With all perseverance and petition at all times. Why are there not more powerfully answered prayers in our day? Well, I've got too many points that we won't be able to finish, so we'll just start right here. Why are there not more powerfully answered prayers in our day? Yes. Because, see, he just talked about in the upper room. Jesus Christ gave a long dissertation on I'm sending you another parakletos. I'm sending you another help, just like me. As you needed me, you need him. As you follow me, you follow him. And all of this. So he had just come off of that long dissertation on the Holy Spirit. So that's in their mind. Yeah, in chapter 14. Yes. 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 That's right. That's right. That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. Now, in defense of John and Herman, we would have added it. But the Holy Spirit didn't lead John. And if he didn't lead me, I wouldn't either. But I'm just saying, it would have been, he does the same thing with Paul. John's asked me many times, why does Paul word it that way? Why do these writers word it that way? Why don't they word it this way? Well, they worded it the way the Holy Spirit directed them. And so, these things are put there, but that's why Paul goes through this whole thing with the fruit of the Spirit. And if you take the fruit of the Spirit, it's involved in every one of these things. Love. Well, if you love somebody, you're going to care and you're going to witness to them. You're going to help them out spiritually. Lay down your life for them spiritually. Give up things in your own life for them spiritually. If you have spiritual love, it is dependent upon spiritual love, which is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So the whole thing begins there. And joy. You got to have that happiness. Nobody wants you to, you know, they serve you food and just throw it down on the table in front of you. You got to say, here's your food, and da, 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 da. And so you have that joy. And then people sense that joy if you're serving. And peace. You got that inner peace so that you don't have to be thinking about anything else except the fruit that you're bearing, what you're doing. We're going to go into fruit in the next hour if we get that far. Yes? Misspelt words. I don't blame the apostles for that.
Yeah.
Well, no, the personal pronoun, like the New American Standard, the New American Standard says, if you abide in me, my word abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Yeah. Now, what chapter are you in? No, I'm in John 15. Okay. All right. His will. Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying. Ask whatever you wish would be whatever he wishes. Yeah, but the when I read this in the Greek, the personal pronoun was you, not he, not a first person. Yeah. He does clarify, or not clarify, but he does do what you want him to do in that 1 John 5 passage that we read. But he, his will. Yeah, his will. Yeah. 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 But I think he's making the point that if we abide in Christ and his word abide in us, this will be our wish. This will be it. His wish will be my wish. His will be my will. Yeah. But I'd have no problem if he had said it that way. Yeah. Yeah. I'd have had no problem with that. Yeah. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are. How thankful we are for the opportunity to come together, open up our text together, just a few of us. Study these things. Let your spirit open our eyes to these things. Grasp these truths. I pray that these things that we've seen tonight will be grounded in our own souls, abide inside of us, and then, Heavenly Father, have manifestation in our life of fruit bearing. Telling others of Christ. Helping one another. All the wonderful things that are involved in fruit bearing. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.